Ladies and gentlemen, jury, the prosecution is not going to get that man today. No, because I'm going to get him.
And welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to this edition of the Hagman and Hagman Report, coming to you live from our radio and, although you can't tell, the television studios here in Northwest Pennsylvania. Something is going on here with the interface on YouTube Live. We are pushing out video. It's just not receiving video. So, Eric, the tech, can they hear us on YouTube? Only Global Star Radio Network, reliable as ever, of course, and Blog Talk Radio. That's Global Star Radio and Blog Talk Radio. And, we will upload this to YouTube later, apparently. So, if you're looking for us on YouTube, we can't talk to you. Because, again, everything is 5x5 on our end. Everything is, we're streaming out, in massive quantities of video, but you can't see us. So, kind of like if a tree falls in the forest and you're not, and no one's there, it doesn't make a sound. Of course it does. But as we are making noise here at the studio, I want to welcome everyone. Listening on our reliable platforms. I want to thank Global Star Satellite Radio, Global Star Radio. Thank you so much for carrying our program. I want to thank BTR. Thank you for carrying our program. We got a great show lined up for you today, and intend to deliver on that. You know, hell in Hamburg, the G20 summit, of course. What's going on there? Protests. You've got the mayor of New York City, skipping the graduation ceremony of his police officers to attend the protests against the G20 in Hamburg, Germany. Go figure, right? Of course, would you expect anything less? And you've got the continued decline, the machinations of the mainstream media, the breakup of, I'm going to tell you right now, I just don't know if the ratings, if the CNN situation can survive. I think they'll survive, but I just don't know. This is a pretty fatal blow to CNN. That young 29-year-old, 27-year-old producer, or that young man who sent that message, wrote that message. I can just see the people in the ivory towers saying, "What are you doing?" Or if it was sanctioned, that's even worse or better for the new media. But we are the new media. We rise above that, of course, delivery of the news. Yep, the G20, of course, taking just taking some pretty nasty, Joe, pretty nasty protests over in Hamburg, well, Germany.
You know, we've seen protests like this here in the United States.
We have.
Before the show, we were talking about the time at the G20 summit was held in Pittsburgh in 2009, where sound cannons were deployed and they really rolled out the militarized police to where they were chasing down college students on the campus of Penn, or of Pitt.
Yep. We were talking
Pittsburgh
about that, yeah, today.
And people who were walking from, you know, their class to dorms were literally being billy clubbed and beaten and arrested by the police officers. And there is a video all over YouTube of that. And there was a great documentary, I believe, Police State 4, that Alex Jones did, that actually Steve Quilzin also, but it documented so much of what happened at the G20 summit there in Pittsburgh. And every time you have, you know, these summits, whether they're the G7, the G20 seems to get more attention. You see these protesters, and just like always, like clockwork, they are starting trouble here in, at the G20 in Hamburg. The article or headline reads, G20 protesters start fires. After riot, police hit them with water cannons and pepper spray in clashes ahead of the Hamburg summit. They estimate around 100,000 protesters from across Europe are pouring into Hamburg ahead of the G20
and some
summit.
From the United States, including New York Mayor Bill de Blasio. Yeah.
Yeah, I wonder if Soros, you know, ponied up some money for Antifa to come out there and protest as well. But the article from the Daily Mail talks about the violent scenes that continued into the night as the G20 summit in Hamburg is set to begin today, and the police, the German riot police and many others, were rolled out as a show of force using fire or water cannons and other methods of crowd control to try to remove and stop the demonstrators from creating more violence.
It's amazing. And I do suspect this will get out of control quickly.
Oh, yeah. They always do.
Absolutely. But you know, back to CNN, and I don't know how many
who?
People... the Communist News Network or the...
CNN. CNN. Is that that cable satire news show?
Yeah, that's it. That's it. Here's what happened, though. I don't know. Did you hear about this? Where a number of anchors and reporters at CNN have had... Well, they've been doxxed. They've had their home addresses published, and they've received threats of rape and violence in the wake of a story published by, and I mentioned this, I referenced this man, Andrew Kaczynski. He heads up the news... there were the network's investigative K-File team. You see, anti-network trolls now are encouraging viewers to wrongly accuse CNN staffers of pedophilia, child porn. There's also tons of anti-Semitism. Now, here's the thing, though. Here's the important part. All right? Now, think about this. We are not really saying that the reports of these reports of pedophilia or the reports of these vicious reports, we're not saying that they're accurate. No, we just want to get the information out there so that the public can make up their own minds. I see how that works, CNN, right?
You know, as far as the news networks are concerned, when you look at the political landscape, when you have Fox News, they are more right-leaning, more Republican-leaning in their bias.
Well,
when you have MSNBC,
they all have a bias.
Right. When you have MSNBC, you have a more left-leaning
bias. We have a bias.
And, right. And most people would be lying if they said they didn't have a bias. Now, our bias is to the truth, to the biblical truth, you know, not only to the truth in the news and current events, but the truth about Scripture and in Jesus as well. But CNN seems like it's not, it's more than bias.
No, okay.
It's a driven agenda.
The words are important here. You're right. Bias is a leaning or, a leaning toward a certain
ideology for one way or the other.
But the CNN, they've got, as well as other networks, have an agenda of destruction.
Right.
It's not even a bias. It's an ideologies. We're getting hundreds of emails. Where are you guys at? I can't tell you. We can't tell you because you wouldn't ask those questions.
I'm sending those links from the email. I'm sending the Blog Talk live show link and the Global Star Listen link to those emails we received.
All right.
So
we're going
to try. Tom W., you just got yours coming, and I will
respond
accordingly. Yeah. Also, open the chat up on BTR for those who can't watch on YouTube.
Right.
And I know the other day we said, I misunderstood. I didn't know the chat wasn't working on YouTube the other day when you opened up the Blog Talk chat, and I made a comment about opening it up every day. I got some emails about how we shouldn't do that because it would divide the chat, and that they were correct. So only when there's problems on YouTube will we do that on here.
But folks, look. At first, I thought this CNN situation was a was really kind of a to quote Van Jones, a nothing burger, right? Which is Joe's favorite word. But the more I, the more we look at this, and the more we take a look at the landscape of what's going on, this is a huge story. This is a big deal, and it's CNN tried to. Well, their behavior was extortion-like by using doxing methods as a threat to exert pressure on an anonymous person. Okay.
And we got to get into this a little bit because this is screwed up.
But it is. And by the way, I was up this morning. I was watching the press conference, Donald Trump's press conference, live at 4:35 this morning Eastern Time. And I was embarrassed for the journalists of the United States, because here you have the president of the United States in Poland, in Warsaw, with the Polish president, and the questions from the American journalists were about this animated GIF, this animated cartoon, about the tweets and such. The meme. Right. Which is another word that, really, that narrative, memes, and nothing burgers. We need to, and you know, I understand, and I said this, I understand Google, of course, is the company, but I don't like it to be used as a verb. I just have a personal objection to that. I Googled this, or go ahead and Google that. All right. To me, if I'm going to Google something, it's going to be done in the privacy of, never mind. But you know, it's just the language to me is important. But this extortion-like behavior, by using the threat of doxing, or when we say doxing, and by the way, and people hate when I do this too. Change course. Melissa Zacharia, the honeybee, is coming on later on. And, folks, you're going to want to tell everyone you know, and even some people you don't know, to listen at the top of 9 o'clock, at the top of the third hour. The reason is this. Melissa is going to be talking about doxing, or about methodologies to expose child pedophiles, child predators.
You know what they call the
people who
do the doxing? They call it weaponized autism.
Weaponized autism?
And it's supposed to be a compliment, because there are different forms of autism, and many people have autism. It's not a problem of retardation.
No,
it's a problem of communication and emotions.
Right. But
there are
many autistics are geniuses.
Are absolutely geniuses. And a good example is that Shia LaBeouf, he won't divide us. That lunatic who was on the Transformer movies, who set up that camera in New York City, will not divide us. What he ended up doing was, he was so sick of being trolled and people messing with his camera in New York that he put a "He Will Not Divide Us" flag in the middle of a desert somewhere. And these people who call themselves the weaponized autistics, due to weather patterns and flight patterns, were able to track down where in the desert he put this flag, which was, basically in the middle of nowhere. So they were, through looking at flight paths and satellite photos and whatnot, they were able to find where this flag was. So he did it again in another country, and the weaponized autistics did it again. They found the exactly, basically, he gave up on his, he won't divide us. But I thought that was pretty funny. And these are the people who caught, the same type of people who caught the professor who used the bike lock and who identified the guy who hit the guy on the head with the bike lock.
Right,
and got him arrested.
The professor.
That's what the doxing is. That's who these people are. They're not to be messed with. You don't want to get on their wrong side, especially if you have something to hide.
Well, yeah. Of course. There's malicious... Look, doxing or the publishing of information about people has a place in society. I believe it does. And I believe as an investigator, in my point of view, if you've got a known... Think of it this way. Megan's Law, for example. Megan's Law exists so you are able to know that two doors down from you, there's a person who is convicted of child rape, for example, a registered sex offender of some type. Now, does it benefit society to know that? Does it benefit you to know that? I do believe in a case like that, of course it does. And so, just like many memes, our favorite word, right? Just like many of things have taken on different meanings. For example, the birther situation with Obama. It becomes a pejorative. When in fact it should be anything but that. The same thing is happening with the Seth Rich homicide. The same thing is happening, well, with many other memes, narratives, accounts, whatever. So, anyway, but this has its place. And the honeybee, as she is called, okay, that's her nickname. Her real name is Melissa Zacharia. You can follow her on Twitter. I suggest you do. She'll expose the child predators. Especially when, and I'm talking about verified child predators. And that's necessary, I think, especially when there is no other alternative. And I'm choosing my words carefully here, because when you look at this, or when you consider this, you have to be correct. So, again, you know, the situation is, you've got,
sorry,
are you done? I'm hearing voices in my head, and it's really not.
John wanted to join us for a minute or two, and he's on with us.
Well, then let's bring John on, and perhaps you can add some non-ADD-like behavior on my part. Go ahead, John. John Robertson, the program director and producer for the Hagmann Report. By the way, John, and folks listening to this, or if you happen to be watching this on archive on YouTube and seeing this blank screen, just so you know, it's nothing on our end. I can tell you that we are 5x5, but YouTube is not accepting our feed. So, okay, that's, we will be up shortly. So apparently, we'll be on the video at 7:30. But John, go ahead, sir.
Well, Doug, sir, thank you so much for giving me just a minute or two of your time here this evening. I wanted to reiterate the point you were just making regarding our third hour guest this evening, Melissa the Honeybee Zacharia. Folks, if you go to HagmannReport.com to this evening's write-up, there are two links in there. One is to an article from Zero Hedge, and the other is an article from the Daily Caller. Both of them remind all of us about the suspected Berkeley Antifa bike lock attacker, Eric Clanton. Now, most of our listeners remember this guy, he's a coward. He was running up behind ranked President Trump supporters and hitting them over the head. Now that's attempted murder with a deadly weapon. And folks, he was caught. He was outed through a process called doxing. And doxing is essentially applying cyber forensics. It's using citizen journalists all over the world, and they have all kinds of methodologies to identify and indicate people who are involved in criminal behavior. Now, doxing can also be misused, and I wanted to go on record tonight as the producer of the show and as the producer and the individual who put this third hour together for us tonight. What we are going to teach you folks to do this evening is operate as your own citizen investigator and citizen journalist. And Melissa Zachariah, the honeybee, is going to teach you, all of you, every single person listening tonight, I want you to take good notes, grab a piece of paper, grab a pen. She's going to teach you methodology for how to go after organizations like Hearts Progress. These groups are trying to normalize terms like pedophobe. Now, Doug, Joe, Hagman listeners, we know that every man and woman on the planet with a soul should in fact be a proud pedophobe. That simply means you are phobic of pedophiles. So this third hour tonight, folks, is going to be instructional, and I'm excited about it. And I just wanted to really encourage all of you who are out there by yourselves. You've been following the Pizzagate story back in November, what we now call Pizzagate or child trafficking writ large. And you feel alone, and you feel like there's nothing you can do, and you're at your wit's end. You're losing sleep at night. And we've had so many guests come on the last couple of months and talk about their efforts. Angela Warren comes to mind. Liz Crokin. Melissa Zachariah,
John,
the
John,
saw man.
Exactly.
Yes, sir.
Now, let me stop you right there because this is an important piece of information for you to know and for our viewers now on YouTube and our listeners to know. The reason you had a blank screen on YouTube for the last 20 minutes was because that was blocked by... I'm going to be very careful when I say this. That was blocked by people.
Well, John,
it was
your fault, John.
It was blocked. No,
your title.
I'll tell you what. We have to be very careful what we say here because here's what's going on. Here's what's going on. We talk about pedophilia. We talk about child trafficking. We talk about child sacrifice. We talk about child abuse, sexual abuse, satanic ritual abuse, and this kind of thing. YouTube
Yes, sir.
Will block us. Now, you know, John, and I want to just put this out there to everyone. And by the way, if we run a little bit over at the bottom of the hour, let's just not take the break because this is important for people to understand. What we are attempting to do with and John Robertson is our program director and our producer. Folks, let me explain something to you right now. Okay, we are in a war. We are taking the offense on this. When I say offense, we are exposing the child traffickers. If those people following my personal Twitter feed, and the reason I have a personal Twitter feed as opposed to the show's Twitter feed is I will take the hits personally. And if my personal feed goes down, the show still stays up. But we are going after and exposing these perverts, these pedos, these progressive, these people who are responsible for this child trafficking. So what you just experienced, folks, and we are not making this up. Eric had to make some changes. And once those changes were made, some extractions of words that Joe was referencing, okay, tags, and also some other things that we are not going to disclose that alerted the people who are responsible to allow us to continue broadcasting on an open venue such as YouTube. This was human intervention. This was not AI. This was not machine. This is human intervention to block this show from going forward, this episode from going forward. So I want people to understand what we're doing here. Under this new mandate, we are bringing John Robertson from the Pacific Northwest to the east part, or to the Midwest, I guess, to the east part of the Midwest or northwest Pennsylvania. Relocating him here, we have a new mandate. We are opening up, attempting to open up private, or not private, but our own personal viewing, YouTubes, if you will, for lack of a better explanation. In other words, we are attempting to become autonomous where nobody can shut us down. Folks, that takes money. That takes more money than I can mortgage. I don't have any mortgages left. I don't have any. I can't get a paper route. And, you know, I mean, look.
You can sell a kidney?
We at this point, that's about the only thing we can do. So here's. We do need your help. If you want shows about this topic to continue, the exposure to continue, the John Robertson, the way he's kicking butt, taking names, and putting us on the, you know, bringing guests. John, what you've done over the last several weeks, months, I should say, absolutely incredible. We need your help. We are asking for your help because what you just saw here, and this was none of this was planned. We're not in our pajamas. This was not a publicity stunt. This is an example, in my view, of what will happen in the very near future if we don't become autonomous and away from the machine that controls what we can and can't say and show.
Yes, Doug, that's exactly correct. And I just have two points to make, and then I'll take my exit. First of all, Joe, I understand exactly what you were implying as far as the tags and the SEOs, and I do apologize for that oversight. However, it segues very well into what I want to explain to all of our listeners and viewers this evening. Now, this is very important, folks. In Hour 3, you are going to be taught techniques. You're going to be taught how to identify. Understand this, viewers and listeners. Please understand this. I'm speaking from the heart right now. In fact, you might be able to hear a little shakiness in my voice because that's how passionate I am about this particular situation. Doug, you know, I've seen the pictures, okay? The pictures that sometimes Russ and Doug refer to. Well, I've seen them. And what we're going to teach you to do tonight is to be used to inform law enforcement. Folks, there are sheriffs, sheriff's deputies, child protective services, there are district attorneys, assistant DAs, there are all kinds of good cops out there. When you apply the techniques that Melissa Zachariah is going to explain to you tonight, you are to take those to law enforcement, and I cannot be any more emphatic about that. In fact, I will repeat myself. You are to take the information to your local sheriff, to your local chief of police, to your local director of child protective services, and if you can't get anywhere with law enforcement, then take this information to the clergy. Take this information to pastors like Pastor David Langford or Pastor Mike Spaulding or Coach Dave Dobenmeyer, because these men know other people who can then get these people put behind bars where they belong. Now, I'll make this final point and then I'll say goodnight, gentlemen. This Antifa bike lock attacker, Eric Clanton, okay, he was hitting people over the head with a bike lock that probably weighs a good, I'd say, 10 or 12 pounds. I actually own one of those bike locks. That's a deadly weapon. And he was caught because good people were tired of seeing President Trump supporters, particularly women, with their heads busted open and bleeding. Well, I'm telling you right here and now tonight, and I don't care how much heat I take for it, at the Hagman & Hagman Report, we will stand in the gap. We will defend the defenseless. And if people want to come after me, my name is John Robertson, JonRobertson. So there you have it. Bottom line is this. You will learn techniques tonight in Hour 3. This is a Christian show. We always attack issues from a Judeo-Christian and constitutionalist point of view. That means we do not engage in vigilantism. We do not take the law into our own hands. Doug, I'm sure you agree with me. What we do is we fact find. We operate as conscientious citizen journalists. We pray for discernment. And then you take that information to law enforcement. And Melissa is going to explain in Hour 3. She's had incredible success working with the FBI and with local prosecutors.
Absolutely right.
Amen, and, John.
If you guys want to come after me, my name is John Robertson.
Yeah.
J-O-N. I'm kidding.
No. Yeah, and John, thank you for sticking your neck out there as we do and putting your name out there, because those people, and in my view, if you want to be a bunch of wimps and hide behind some sort of cutesy, you know, pseudo-anonymous handle, an attempt to be taken seriously, then now there are exceptions to that, of course. There are exceptions.
Yeah, well,
I get that.
I'll tell you what, the time for that is over. That's nonsense. I'll make this my final comment. Folks, here's what we want you to take away from hour three this evening. Learn these techniques. Understand that you're not alone. You may be a 55 or 65-year-old a invalid veteran or a shut-in, a widow, a widower, someone who spends a lot of time in front of the computer every day, maybe because you're kind of where I've been at different times in my life, and you're lonely and you don't have a lot of friends that you can call on the phone and go hang out with. Tonight, Melissa Zachariah is going to teach you how you can get in this fight and get in this fight big time. And once you have the information, once you have the URLs, once you have evidentiary proof, this Twitter feed is supporting and promoting child rape. Once you have that, Melissa is going to tell you how to contact the FBI, how to contact your local sheriff's department, municipal police, etc. And certainly, with Doug Hagman and Joe Hagman's many years of licensure as private investigators, at the very least, get the information to us, and we'll take it from there. Doug, Joe, thank you so much for letting me punch in tonight. I really appreciate your time.
Hey, thank you, brother. John Robertson, program director, producer of the Hagman Report, producer extraordinaire. We want to thank him so much for his, I'll tell you what, John, I could verify this. This guy works 24/7, and he's underpaid and overtired, underpaid, and just a great asset to this team. And I want to thank you, my brother, for being there for all of us.
Well, Doug, I reciprocate those feelings to everyone at Team Hagman. I can't wait to get back there and be with you folks day in, day out at the end of this month. And lastly, Eric, God bless you for getting YouTube back up. Gentlemen, have a killer show. God bless you. God bless all the viewers in the name of Jesus. Let's go forward in power and in authority. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you too, John, and keep up the good work.
Thank you, sir.
We are going to make sure this. There we go. See, told you we weren't in our pajamas.
Shoot, I needed a change.
Yeah, there we go. No, you know, it's again, folks, the takeaway is this. The corporate media, the corporate elites, the people, and you might think that it's some insurmountable army. It's not. There are not tens of thousands of these leaders. There's only just a very limited number. However, they control the buttons, the switches, the keywords, the code words.
The levers of power.
That's right. But when they know that, and look, our numbers, just to give you an example, very quickly, our numbers on YouTube, our numbers on Alexa, our rankings are... we have been contacted, and I'm not going to get into this, and this is not to say, you know, oh, we're great. But just so you know what they do to keep down our visibility, to make it look, to dissuade someone like Senator Coburn or think of, you know, another big name or whoever to come on from our to our program. Well, look at the numbers. They only have X amount of listens. Well, when you calculate the fact that we last year, how many countries were we in last year? All but like 40. I don't know. It's
oh, more. I mean, I'm not sure how many countries are in the world right now. But when we look at just on the analytics from Blog Talk, you can see it looks like just parts of Central Africa are the only countries that
parts of or China and
I think we have
Greenland. Greenland, there's nothing in Greenland. But the fact of the matter is this: what they are attempting to do is to make it appear that we are really a nothing burger. Van Jones. However, and again, this is not to say, you know, oh boy, this is great. Now, of course, other programs have gotten away with this. Of course, InfoWars. InfoWars, they're very difficult because of the structure and how they've, and I have to commend Alex Jones, how he structured his platform. So it's difficult to munge the numbers on a platform or a program like that. On ours, however, you can do that. As a matter of fact, I watched the numbers today, this morning, at 4:35, as I was watching the news conference. I was in my office, and I watched our Twitter numbers fall in increments of 10. All right, some people might say, well, you know what? It's bots, it's this, it's that. All right, I watched the numbers fall in the average, or in the number of listens on YouTube, not by 10, but significantly, and then some came back up. It was just a very odd, eerie appearance. Yet we will have people that'll say, you know, this is all just bogus and what have you. But the bottom line is this: they don't want the truth out there. We are attempting, and we will expose the truth. People like our next guest right now, L.A. Marzulli, is going to be exposing things in the context today that relate to, well, things of historic significance that have context today. Is L.A. on?
Yes, he is.
All right. Let's bring L.A. Marzulli on. L.A. Marzulli, thank you so much for your patience, for your time. We had a little bit of an issue earlier on, because of a program name description, some other issues. They didn't want the word out, so we had a problem. But now we're back, and you're here. All is well. Good to see you.
Thanks for having me on, guys. I mean, it's always good to be on Hagman and Hagman.
And it's good to have you on, my friend.
There you go.
I like your hat. I like your hat. That's a good.
Which one?
Well, the one you're wearing, actually.
Oh, okay. But, well, this is a very coveted tin foil hat right here.
Well, you know,
that's the one that people really want to see me put it on, but maybe a little later.
We'll that's all right. I think that's my great grandmother's skull back. Never mind. So L.A., I apologize for the lack of introduction. But I think everyone knows you. Everyone knows who you are. Everyone knows where to find you. Peru. You just got back from Peru. How'd you like it? Did you have fun?
Yeah, I mean, I've been down there for like the umpteenth time. I've lost count how many times I've been there. I got to, you know, hats off to Steve Quayle, Tim Alberino. Tim's wife, Jasmine, was just absolutely incredible. And she really just kept the tour organized and going. And some Pete Rambla. Wonderful man, very interesting man, an adventurer, and I got to know him. But it was just great to hang out with Steve and Tim. Tim and I talked a lot of shop. In fact, when we met, we went down to the restaurant in the lobby. We were there for 3 hours without a comma. I mean, it was just like yak, 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 yak. And our poor wives are sitting there, you know, listening to this stuff, because, you know, Tim and I had never met. So it was like major, major talking shop. It was just fantastic, and I just feel really blessed and honored to know Tim and to get to know him. And then, you know, Steve and I were just running around in Cusco and Ollantaytambo and Machu Picchu. I mean, it's just an amazing tour. And if they do it next year, folks, you got to sign up for the Gen 6 tour. They really do it right. We're going to be doing a tour, but ours is going to be completely different. We're going to go down to Nazca, Paracas, the Paracas skulls, some of the pyramids around Lima, which have megalithic stuff too. And then depending on wherever the airport's open, we'll shoot up to Cusco from there, because people really need to see Sacsayhuaman. I mean, that is just amazing. But it was a real honor to be there. And, you know, again, just kudos to Jasmine Alberino, who really just held the thing together. And by the way, a shout out to Steve's wife. It was just really great to meet Loretta. And I did one more thing, that the people on the tour, we just met some great people there. And it was just really, it went way too quick, as it always does. But, you know, I got to lecture, which is what I love to do. I got to present one night for about 2 hours. which is what I really love to do, and lecturing at the sites like Sacsayhuaman, and of course in Cusco itself, there's some megalithic sites there. And Tim Alberino and I actually did a little YouTube video, which is posted on my YouTube channel, L.A. Marzulli, about the wall in the background. And again, this is all, in my opinion, Nephilim technology. There's no way you can duplicate this stuff today, in my opinion. So,
well, and I think that, to me, that's kind of, when I look at history, and if you do nothing, folks, but if you just kind of take, like me, I walk my dog and I think. And sometimes I sit on a park bench and think. And people look at me like, you know, but you just think about how history has unfolded and where we are today. Where we are today, what you just said, Nephilim technology, it helps me understand how we got to where we are. More importantly, where I think we're headed and how we're headed there. And it proves to me the prophecies in the Bible to be true. So, I don't know. Is that kind of the context of what you're saying?
I mean, that's a great summation of it. Yes. I mean, the reason why we're on the trail and we're looking at these sites and trying to bring them to the attention of people in the church and then just people outside the church who have no idea what these sites are about. Because it points back, in my opinion, to the veracity of the biblical prophetic narrative, like you just so eloquently stated. It points back to the veracity of Scripture. It points back to the prophetic narrative, which is all throughout from Genesis to Revelation. And I was at a meeting today down in the valley in West Hills and with a bunch of people and, you know, distributors and film guys and the whole deal. And they were much younger than I am. I mean, they were in their, like, you know, late 30s, early 40s, and here I am. I'm the oldest guy in the room at 66. But I could see that several of them had never, ever traveled in any of this. I mean, they've never, and they just openly admitted, you know, L.A., we're hearing this for the first time. Because I gave them all the Watchers series, my new film In Their Own Words, the Nephilim trilogy. I didn't even get into On the Trail stuff with the Coneheads, although we talked about it. I only had like an hour and a half with these people. And I gave them a lot of material. And they've got homework to do. I mean, they really have homework to do because there's so much information in the 11 DVDs that we did for the Watchmen Chronicles. There's so much information in my new film, The Watchers series. All 11 DVDs in the Watchers series. So much information in my new film, In Their Own Words, The Watchmen Chronicles. So, and then you've got the 10 books on top of that. I mean, I've been doing this for like, I mean, if I really am honest, I go back to when I'm 16, and that's when I started, when I was 16. That's when I started reading Carlos Castaneda and, you know, Blavatsky stuff and The Secret Doctrine and all the
occult books. Yeah, me too.
All the occult books I could get my hands on, you know? And I was looking at Eastern mysticism and gurus and eventually took on a guru, Guru Maharaji, and my third eye was open and all this stuff. So, I mean, I've been in this stuff for like forever. And then when I came of a lawyer 37 years ago, it was like yanking me out of the kingdom of darkness because that's where I was. And for 10 years, we didn't get any near this stuff. 10 years, it was like boot camp, 10-year boot camp. Bible study, Bible study, Bible study, more Bible study. Take your guitar instead of singing rock and roll, lead worship, and that's all I did. And then at 40 years old is when the Lord started turning up the heat, as it were, and we started to go back and look at this stuff. And I'm like an apologist. I mean, I'm trained not from books, although I read, you know, thousands of books, if I, you know, accurate, whatever it is, lot of books. Okay,
sure.
And the bottom line is, but I was there. I was at Woodstock. I took mescaline. You know, I had spirit guides. I've experienced this stuff, and it's all from the dark side. So when I talk about it, it's just not head knowledge. It's just not, well, you know, I read that Carlos Castaneda did a little smoke. I read Carlos Castaneda, and then I went out and tried to make it happen. Tried to find, you know, that's who I was. I was looking for God. I wanted to find God. And just like Russ Dizdar, I tried everything I could possibly do as a springboard to get there. And you know what? This is what the shamans do today all over the world. They use psychotropic drugs. They use concoctions like ayahuasca to catapult them in to the second heaven where they have encounters. And there is knowledge that's dispensed in the second heaven. And I don't care what you think about it. I don't care how benevolent it seems or how, ooh, I got all this good stuff. Nonsense. It's all sourced from the dark side. And they are masters of deception. And they know just what to say to somebody to gain their confidence, to make them feel like, oh, wow, I'm really experiencing, I'm at one with the universe, or whatever nonsense it is. The bottom line is all deception.
Sorry to interrupt, but isn't that kind of what Laurel Canyon was all about? The real Laurel Canyon, the real scene there, parallel to what you're speaking. In other words, there was that recreational, partied up kind of thing, like in the 70s with Disco Biscuits, but now we're talking more of this spiritual journey, parallel to Laurel Canyon. Vice versa to what you're talking about. So it was during that time period, right? Same thing.
Yeah, this is you know, Timothy Leary. Yeah. This is Carlos Castaneda. This is, you know, people coming in with, I mean, the greatest influx of Eastern mysticism came in the 60s, specifically from the Beatles. I mean, that's what opened it up with Maharishi Mahesh Yogi. I mean, the fact that you look around now and there's Christians going to their yoga classes, it's just like, it makes me want to scream. In fact, I'm working on a book called What is the Truth, and I took one of the many chapters from that book and put it in my monthly magazine, PPS Report, which is, you know, I could give you a plug, but if you're interested, check it out anyway. But the article talked about that here we are in 2017, and all these Christian women are going to Christian yoga. It's not oxymoron. There is no such thing. Trust me, there is no such thing. You know, stretch, do something else, but don't start doing the positions. Because all that comes from tantric yoga. And it's designed to open up the Kundalini serpent spirit. OLA, come on. That's what it's designed to do. That's, consider the source. And all this stuff has crept back into the church. You know, you tell some of these Christian women, and they get irate at you. Oh, no, OLA has nothing to do with it. Yes, it does. Yes, it does. Go back to where all this comes from. Well, my instructor's a born-again Christian. Doesn't matter. She is teaching what is basically known as tantric yoga. The use of positions to open up the chakras in the body. That's what they do.
And you just
make stuff up.
And you just answered the question that I was going to ask you right now, which is, what would you say is the main difference between yoga and meditation?
Well, I mean, yoga is where you take the body and moving it in these different positions. It's a discipline. And, you know, you open up. Like, for instance, you know, what everyone knows, I guess it's called the serpent. When you're in a process, you know, you're laying on the floor, you push yourself up, but you keep your pelvic on the ground and you arch your back. Well, that's the cobra, the serpent, whatever you want to call it. So, you know, what are we doing? Why are we doing that? What's the purpose of it? Whereas meditation, when I was with Guru Maharaji, we were given a mantra, which we were told was the primordial word. I mean, it's just, you know, I'm a 21-year-old kid. I'm eating this stuff up like ice cream. Are you kidding me? Oh, I'm going to get the primordial word. I cannot wait. And so I got the primordial word, and we were told to stick our tongues behind that little thing that hangs down in the back of the throat, which I could never do. But there were some people who could do it. They'd walk around like zombies with their tongue jammed up behind that little thing that hangs in the back of your throat. It's not your uvula. It's something else. And that little punching bag sack thing. And they're walking around with their tongues behind, and they're listening to their breath going so hung, so hung, so hung. And we were told that, you know, our minds were the enemy, to just quiet our minds, still our minds. And so when we'd meditate, we would do this position, and we would try to see divine light and hear a divine music, what was called divine light, divine music. So everybody in the room heard it. I mean, when the Muhammad, the holy man, came around and initiated all of us, and I was initiated, and of course, look, folks, I renounced all that. That's like, you know, 45 years ago. I'm 66. I'm 21 when this happens. Hello. So, you know, this is a long, long time ago. Please don't. Eli Marzulli's, you know, promulgating the occult now. Here we go. Because someone will run with that. You know how the things go. But the bottom line was, I was initiated. My third eye was open. I did see light. I heard inner music. All that stuff. So the occult is real. I mean, it's real. And unfortunately, the church doesn't understand this. That this is why our youth is flocking towards the ayahuasca, towards the shamanism, towards Eastern mysticism, towards gurus. Now there's a new potion from a toad or something, which is really potent, and actually is even better in ayahuasca. So the kids are down there looking for that. The reason why I say that, we were in the Lima airport, and I met these two guys. One was tattoo man bun guy, that's what I called him. And the other guy was really pumping me for info. Tattooed man bun guy, he had something on him. You could feel it. He was like, you know, kind of arrogant and just probably on something. I prayed for the guy, not, you know, quietly, but anyway, the guy that I had contact with, he started pumping me for information. And for basically 45 minutes, I witnessed to him without using what we would call, without quoting scripture, without mentioning Jesus. Oh, LA, you know, you blew it. You should have. No, I hadn't earned the right to do that. And I told him, you want to know more, come to my website, you know, or shoot me an email, and I will answer you all your questions that you've got. Because he would ask me questions like, well, you know, should I go in and do this drug with the shaman? And I said, absolutely not. And then I went to tell him, it's like, let me ask you something. And this is from the Holy Spirit, because I'm not that smart. And I said, you know as well as I do that in any type of initiation process, when you're with a shaman, you have to give them, the entities, permission to speak to you. You have to give the entities permission to enter into you. And he goes, yes. I go, why is that protocol there? He had no answer. And then the zinger from the Spirit of a Living God was, who set that protocol in place, and why? And why is it there? And why can't these entities cross that protocol? And that's something that's absolutely profound, because just like the black-eyed kids, if I can skip over for a minute, they knock on the door and they ask permission. Can we come in? If this won't take long, can we come in? They have to ask permission. Permission must be granted. In occult ceremonies, a person has to allow themselves to take in the demonic. They have to say, yes, I want this. It's because of free will. So there's a line there. And, you know, he was blown away by that. And I said, the one who set that protocol, who set that boundary in motion, that's the one I serve. And that's how I left it with him. And he hasn't gotten back to me with an email. Hopefully he will at some point, but so far nothing.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. Okay. Well, wow. And let me tell you something. Black-eyed kids, yeah, knocking on my door. Show you. Can I do your yard work, rake your yard? That ain't happening.
Yeah.
Well, we got just a few minutes before the break. I want to ask you something. I saw a pretty interesting YouTube video. I believe it was last week, and I showed you dead. Also, the three-fingered.
Yep.
There was allegedly they found a mummified alien body in Peru.
Three fingers.
Did you see that?
Three long fingers.
Yeah, if you go to my YouTube channel, folks, L.A. Marzulli, you can see my interview with Jaime Masson, who basically put that whole thing together. Jaime was the one that heard about it, mounted an expedition, went down. Immediately, Jaime was attacked. Oh, my gosh, it's another hoax. Oh, Jaime, the same guy did the ferry. Now he's doing this thing, and not so fast. So Jaime calls me up, and he goes, L.A., I'm being torn apart here. Can I come on the show? So we did like a half an hour special PPS report. It's on my YouTube channel, Alien Mummy, Nazca Mummy, Jaime Masson. And, you know, basically I stuck up for Jaime. The bottom line is this. Okay, there's an artifact. We don't know whether it's real or whether it's fake. No one does. And for someone to sit in an armchair, oh, I know it's a fake. Well, how do you, that's so arrogant. Have you seen it? No. Have you done any testing on it? No. So you're just saying it's fake because you're pontificating and we have to believe you because you're some real smart guy or whatever. Nonsense. That's arrogance and ignorance. And that's not the way things work. And so I said, look, Jaime is got this thing. They're doing testing on it. They've done CAT scans and x-rays, but we don't know what we're looking at. The ferry fooled everybody. Now, hold on for a second. I just want to show you guys, you know, what we were up against.
That's right. We'll talk amongst ourselves while you're doing that.
No, I'm right here.
Okay. All right.
These are the x-rays. These are the x-rays, okay, that we got, that we had from Jaime. And we're sitting there looking at him at a vet's office, and the vet's going, yeah, it looks real to me. And that's why we went with it. We had the evidence of the x-rays, went to a veterinarian who looks at thousands of x-rays in the course of his career, maybe tens of thousands in the course of his career. And the vet said, yeah, it looks real. It was only till we were able to get the entity, the little fairy thing, out of Mexico and examine it, that's when we realized it was a hoax. And then only after an hour and a half, after two other veterinarians had looked at it and thought it was real, but the thing started to dry up, the skin starting to dry up. And that exposed the arm, the upper arm, which is actually wood and a big blob of epoxy, and a blob of epoxy down here holding a bat leg. So it was all, the whole thing was a confabulation. It was constructed. And the moment we found that out, we went public with it. That's what researchers do. We don't know what we're looking at with the Nazca mummy. It may be a hoax. It may be the real thing. I don't know. I haven't had access to it. I'm looking at the pictures. I've never seen anything like it. It's very bizarre. There's some guy who's trying to tell us that, you know, that what they did, it's a real mummy. They slipped the fingers down like this. They slipped the fingers down, and then they took the digits from here and here and pasted them on. That may be. I don't know. But the bottom line is, and this is what drives me nuts about YouTube and just the atmosphere where people like myself are actually in the field trying to do something, and the naysayers are there. They never go anywhere. They never actually provide any evidence for anybody.
Well, yeah, and I mean, look at the Shroud of Turin, the ridicule, the contempt that was.
Oh yeah,
and the questions and such. But
and LA makes a great point about the YouTube videos.
Very much, yeah.
So many people online that I've seen will write articles or put threads on internet forums saying, you know, breaking proof of this or that, and it always leads back to a YouTube video with some person, you know, speculating on their theory of why they think it is, never offering any real proof. But a lot of people will take that as some kind of proof. Folks, we're talking with LA Marzulli. LAMarzulli.net is the website. He will be with us after this short break. Don't go anywhere.
Greenovative. Go to HagmanReport.com. Click on the link to Greenovative. What Greenovative is, it's a small company in Florida. They created something called the G-Mag Power Cell. It produces electricity by adding salt water to this unit that recharges rechargeable batteries. It's the coolest thing you'll ever see in your life. It's really neat. Really a super device. All right, you need just 2 teaspoons of ordinary table salt, a little water, but a bing, you're charging your rechargeable batteries. Super G-Mag Chargeable is affordable, it's lightweight, weighs about 8 ounces, it's durable, it's EMP proof, and it's environmentally friendly, that it is. It'll provide safe and convenient power for recharging 6 AA batteries off the grid when other power sources aren't available anywhere, anytime, in any weather, day or night. Go to greenovative.com. That's greenovative.com. Folks, in these uncertain times, it just makes sense to have a sustainable backup method for accomplishing one of life's most important tasks, and that's preparing food. This is the way to go. There is nothing better than a Minuteman rocket stove from MinutemanStove.com. We all need a way to cook and a method to process water. I mean, think about it. Think about the many things that could happen to you. Minuteman rocket stove can provide your family or group the perfect solution. It's small, lightweight, wood-burning, and every bit as powerful as a kitchen stove. It's small, smokeless, and fully self-contained for clean storage and transport. Because it's so efficient, it cuts down on your wood gathering and processing chores to a tenth what would be required if cooking the old-fashioned way over an open fire. So don't rely on gas or fuel stoves. Prepare your family. Prepare for yourself. Order a Minuteman rocket stove today. It's going to make bad times much better. Folks, MinutemanStove.com. MinutemanStove.com. Need I say more?
You should have a Minuteman, the survival stove, in an ammo can.
For investors, timberland has become the symbol of safety. Global tropical timber demand continues to surge as the world's population increases. The need for managed, sustainable timber production forests has never been greater. When stock markets crash, trees keep growing. Direct ownership of fully managed tropical timberland acreage is now available to accredited investors. Prime, valuable hardwood groves close to the beautiful Costa Rican border generate and maintain superior long-term wealth. Consider visiting our forest plantations. Qualified accredited investors should go to PreciousTimberProfits.com or dial 855-888-6288 for more information. Call 855-888-6288 or visit PreciousTimberProfits.com. This announcement does not constitute either an offer to sell securities or a solicitation of an offer to purchase. Offering made by prospectus only. 855-888-6288, PreciousTimberProfits.com, PreciousTimberProfits.com.